I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello, friend, and welcome to this special Father's Day edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host, and I'm so glad you've joined me. And yes, I do know that Father's Day is still 1 week away, but I hope this program will help you to be better prepared to express your appreciation to your father. Our program today will have a bit of a different format than usual, but I believe you'll be blessed. So keep your radio dial right where it is and rejoice with me as we honor fathers and God's design for fatherhood. When I say the word father, what pictures form in your mind? Are they pleasant scenes or scenes you wish you could forget? No human being except Jesus ever had a perfect father. Nor can we, who are fathers now, perfectly relate to our children because we are marred by sin. But don't despair. The Bible has clear direction for us as fathers. In both example and precept, we find so much in the Scriptures that will equip us to experience God's best for us in our role as fathers. On our program today, we honor faithful fathers, and we call them to a greater degree of faithfulness to God, to His Word, to their families, and to their churches. We believe that a return to a biblical understanding of fatherhood is the surest path to a revival of Christian belief and practice. One of the great tragedies of our day is the rise of fatherlessness. And because of this, our society is forced to deal with all kinds of spiritual and emotional and physical consequences. Let's listen now to a song that was written in the aftermath of the 9/11 terrorist attack. And while it focuses on fathers who lost their lives in that tragedy, it reminds us of the importance of the role of fathers.
Today, our nation's cries can be heard throughout the land. The sounds of children weeping for the touch of father's hand. With broken hearts and longing for their father to come home, they wait to hear his voice again, but father won't come home. You've got another chance to tell him that you love him. You've got another chance to show him that you care. You've got another chance to put your arms around him, to heal the painful feelings you may bear. Today our hearts go out to the grieving families who lost a cherished loved one in the recent tragedy. Our Lord looks down from heaven and He sees each sparrow fall. He weeps with every broken heart and hears them when they call. You've got another chance to tell Him that you love Him. You've got another chance to show him that you care. You've got another chance to put your arms around him, to heal the pain.
As I was thinking about this program and the characteristics of a godly father, the Lord drew my mind to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. You might know these verses as the fruit of the Spirit. Today, I want us to look briefly at each of the varieties of the fruit of the Spirit and see how they relate to being a godly father. I pray that you'll be blessed. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. The love spoken of in the Scriptures is not a natural human tendency, because if it were, we wouldn't need to be commanded to love our wives, to love our children, or to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. The love that's taught and exemplified in the Bible is not a feeling. It is a choice. It's a commitment to the well-being of another person, even at great personal cost or sacrifice. And not one of us can be an effective father without that kind of love. Someone has said, "The greatest thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother." As fathers, we can only love our wives and children to the degree we understand and accept God's love for us through Jesus. The men remind us of the depths of Jesus' love as they sing.
Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. As a mighty ocean, in His fullness over me, underneath me, all around me, is the current of Thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to Thy glorious rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, spread His praise from shore to shore.
Thank you, men, for reminding us of the one who loves us and teaches us how to love. The next fruit, then, is joy. The scriptural definition of joy is cheerfulness or calm delight. As dads, we face the reality of a harsh and unforgiving world. We know life isn't fair, and some people are out to take advantage of the powerless. So then, in our desire to communicate this to our children, we can sometimes be seen as harsh, perhaps even uncaring, because we want our children to understand sometimes you just have to take your licks and keep on going. You can't wear your feelings on your sleeve. Now, all of that is true, but at the same time, we need to be able to express a cheerful countenance and a calmness of spirit, even in difficulty. Our children need to know that Dad enjoys spending time with them. One thing our family enjoys is playing table games together. Next is the fruit, peace, the tranquil state of our soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, fearing nothing from God, and content with whatever He sends our way. We live in troubled times, and sometimes I ask myself, what will my children or my grandchildren have to face in their lifetime? But I praise God, I can rest in His divine providence. I can be at peace. He has a plan mapped out for the lives of each one of them. He has it all under His control, and that knowledge, that assurance, gives me peace. And then I can also have peace in my relationships with my family. There's no need for constant discord and bickering. When we follow the principles of God's Word, we can have harmonious relationships. Not perfect, but good. You know, as dads, we set the tone for this in our homes. If we are at peace with God and with our calling in life and with our fellow men, we will most likely have a peaceable home life too. This song by the choir encourages us to be joyfully at rest, at peace.
Come, come, ye saints, no toil nor labor fear, but with joy wend your way. Though hard to you the journey may appear, grace shall be as your day. We have a living Lord to guide, and we can trust Him to provide. Do this and joy, your hearts will swell. All is well, all is well. The world of care is with us every day. Let it not this obscure. Here we can serve the Master on the way, and in Him be secure. Gird up your loins, fresh courage take. Our God will never us forsake, and so our song no fear can quell.
Then there's patience. Maybe I shouldn't talk about this because I know so little about it. But there it is in the list from Galatians chapter 5. You know, being a dad is a little bit like being a farmer. In James chapter 5, we read these words, "The farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains." So you plant the crop, you tend to its growth, but mostly, you wait. And that's how it is with being a father. You plant the seeds of truth in a child's life, and you protect the tender young plant. You water, you feed, you pull out the weeds of wrong attitudes and behavior as they spring up. You do everything in your power to make sure the child will become a productive, fruitful member of society, and more importantly, the family of God. But most of what you do is wait. And waiting requires patience. That leads us to the next fruit, gentleness. The word gentleness carries the idea of integrity or moral excellence. This same word is translated in other places as goodness and kindness. As men, most of us must admit gentleness is not one of our strong, natural tendencies. We tend to enforce the guidelines we have in our homes and families systematically and sternly. We want our children to understand the consequences of wrong choices, and we want them to learn to make choices objectively. Sometimes our discipline can be overly harsh, and we risk breaking the child's spirit instead of breaking the will. We need our wives to help balance us in this area. Ephesians chapter 6 warns us as fathers not to provoke or exasperate our children to the point of anger. We must learn how to be gentle, even as we exercise firmness. Our children need to know that dad's strong hands, which administer discipline, are also capable of a light and gentle touch. A warm smile, an arm around the shoulders, and a comforting word all demonstrate the gentleness of the Spirit within. Fathers, we need to model the example of our gentle shepherd, the Lord Jesus.
Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no
The next fruit is goodness. Goodness is virtue, moral excellence, which results in doing good things for others. We're not looking for a payback. We simply want to bless others. If you look beyond our text in Galatians chapter 6, we're commanded to do good to all people, but especially toward those who are our fellow believers, and that would certainly include our families. The righteousness of Christ is the only source of genuine goodness. And because Christ lives in us by His Holy Spirit, we are empowered to do what is right and good. The fruit of goodness can only be present in our lives if we have learned how to die to our own selfish desires. Otherwise, we'll be seeking our own benefit, and we will react to those who get in our way. Goodness, then, also contains the idea of generosity. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2 that it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. You see, God is generous with His gifts to unbelievers in the hope that they will recognize Him and desire a relationship with Him. We should exercise that same kind of generosity to our wives and children. Our lives should be characterized by goodness. And what about faith? Faith is a belief, a settled assurance in the truth. It is accepting the reality of something that I can't see. And the biblical concept of faith is this: it will result in action. That's the theme for the whole epistle of James. All people exercise faith every day. And being a father takes faith. I accept the promises God has given, and I act upon them. I can't see all the results of investing in the lives of my children, but my children are old enough now that I can see, in spite of my failures and mistakes, that God is bringing to completion that good work that He's begun in their lives. When I have a need and don't have the resources to meet that need, I have confidence that God is able to meet that need. Now, He may not follow the timetable that I've set in my expectation, but in my experience, I have found that He is faithful.
My faith it is, and oak and staff a traveler's well obtained. My faith it is, a weapon stout, the soldier's trusty blade. I'll travel on and still be stirred by silent thought or social word, by all my perils undeterred, a soldier pilgrim stay. My faith it is an oak and staff, let me
faith it is.
A trusty sword may falsehood find it keen. Thy spirit, Lord, to me impart. Oh, make me what thou ever art. How patient
the next item in our spiritual fruit basket is meekness. Let me say, meekness is not weakness. No, meekness is actually strength under control. It is the opposite of anger. And Jesus used this fruit to describe himself in Matthew's gospel. He said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." Now we know for sure that Jesus wasn't weak. He was God come in the flesh, but he voluntarily limited himself to function within the realm of human existence. You remember he rebuked James and John for wanting to call down fire from heaven on the unbelieving Samaritans. He reminded his disciples that he could have called legions of angels to deliver him from the crucifixion, but he surrendered his own will to the desires of the Father. Dad, are you a meek person? Or would your family describe you as angry? Are you able to differentiate between your rights and your responsibilities? If I get angry at my son because he failed to fulfill his chores, I'm focusing on the fact that I have a right to expect he will fulfill my commands. If I understand my responsibilities, then I will help him understand the consequences of not following through on his commitments. But there's no need for anger. Our final fruit is self-control. And this one is very closely related to meekness. Thayer's Greek Dictionary defines self-control this way: the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. If you want a graphic example of how a father's lack of self-control affects his children, all you need to do is read about the life of Eli in the first book of Samuel. His life is a clear warning to us as dads if we think we can teach our children self-control while we indulge our own passions. In our culture, we're constantly bombarded with sensual images. Electronic and print media, billboards, all kinds of communication promote the idea that the path to happiness and fulfillment is found in gratifying your senses. But in reality, it brings great destruction, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Living simply for one's passions is the path to hell. On the other hand, meekness and self-control bring us to the place of rest and contentment. We learn that happiness is not in having what we want, but rather in wanting what we have. God has given to us as believers all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He won't withhold from us any good thing if it will accomplish his purposes in our lives and bring him glory. You and I should be overwhelmed with his goodness, none of which we deserve. Now, maybe our review of the fruits of the Spirit as they relate to fatherhood has discouraged you. Maybe you're thinking about all your failures as a dad. You know, it is good to acknowledge them and to deal with them. But Satan is the only one who will use your failures to bring condemnation. Because my Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, doesn't do that. Instead, he brings conviction. He wants us to strive to be more like him, to bring our lives into closer alignment with his word. And that's what I want to do. If you're a dad listening today, I hope you will join me in this song of commitment.
Prince of Peace, control my will. struggling heart be still. Bid my fears and doubting cease. Hush my spirit into peace. Thou hast bought me with thy blood. Open wide the gate to God. Peace I ask, but peace must be. Lord, in being one with thee.
May thy will, not mine, be done. May thy will and mine be one. Chase these doubtings from my heart. Now thy perfect peace impart.
Thank you, men, for the challenge in that song. When we allow the Prince of Peace to rule in our hearts, he will bring peace in our families, our communities, and our world. Were you encouraged by what you heard today? If so, you can share it with a friend by pointing them to our website, heraldsofhope.org. Or you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching. The quickest way for you to contact us is by email. Our address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call our offices at 866-960-0292. Or mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533, and ask for a copy of the Father's Day program. Or log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching at your convenience. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. And if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. And until we meet again,
Savior, at thy feet I fall.